Today's Bible reading is taken from Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 to 37. I will read from the New King James Version. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, to all nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, and I was flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issue a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last, Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let him gaze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, May the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, and under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O King, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down that tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him gaze with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled, and concerning Nebuchadnezzar, he was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagles, feathers, and his nails were like claws. Till his hair had grown like eagles' feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and I honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, I praise and I extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our theme for this quarter is living out our faith, a study of the life of Daniel. And our sermon topic for today is God Resists the Proud. Our preacher for this morning is our very own General Kayode Oni.
Good morning, church. Shall we pray? Our dear Father, we give you praise for the privilege of sitting around your word to receive instructions from you. Father, we're trusting that you will give us teachable spirit so that your word will profit us. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise ye the Lord. It's a privilege to gather today in spite of all that is happening around our nation. We've been told what our topic is. In the light of what is happening around us, I want to ask us some questions. You don't have to give me any answer, but it's to set us thinking. Please, how did the week that just ended yesterday go with you? Or with most Nigerians? Was God on your side this week? I will also want to add, the battles you faced this week, could you say for sure that God was on your side, fighting alongside with you? Or on the other side, fighting against you? Our sermon topic is God Resists the Proud. And the word resist is from the Greek word antistemi, a classified Greek military terminology, which means a stand against, being in opposition to. Now, if we choose the sinful path, God will actually be opposed to us. And on the other hand, if we choose the godly path, he will give us grace. Now, I want us to think for a moment. Imagine God being opposed to any of us, where he lines up a host of army, an array of troops against us in battle. Obviously, none of us can survive it. Now, in the first three chapters, we saw King Nebuchadnezzar as one of the most arrogant leaders in history. He was so egocentric, very self-centered, and exhibited a lot of prideful behavior. Although King Nebuchadnezzar paid lip service to the Most High God, this we saw in the introductory portion of the passage. He acknowledged God. It may appear. But the truth is that he was not humble before God. And the situation got so bad that God had to handle him in a special way. When he saw God in action, the first time, his testimony was, "Oh, let everybody obey the God of Daniel and his friends," because of what he saw. And one would have thought that that would have made him to acknowledge God. But he was too full of himself. And God had to show him a revelation about how he would be humbled. Brethren, I want us to sincerely pray that we will never get to a situation where God will have to humble us. The king, after inviting the wise men of the land, the magicians, the enchanters, the astrologers and fortune tellers, and they couldn't interpret the dream. Now, Daniel was called upon to do the interpretation because it was that individual in whom the spirit of the God, of God dwells. Please, when we are at crossroads, when we have issues, whom do we invite? Whom do we turn to? Let it not be that asking God will be the last resort. Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream of a huge tree, reduced drastically by an angel. The tree was the king being removed from his royal position and driven into the field like an animal. The hair and fingernails grew long, and this animal ate grass like other animals in the field. He was to be in this state of insanity for a season of 7 years, precisely, until he acknowledged God as the Almighty and Sovereign One who rules in the affairs of men. I believe this should be a lesson for leaders. I should also be a source of hope, knowing fully well that no matter what happens, God is still in charge, even in our situation in Nigeria. The king had to be subdued, and he got to a level of submission where he could no longer exercise the control he boasted about. Now, brethren, we need to pay attention to the root cause of this matter: pride. Pride happens to be the topmost sin that the Lord hates. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19 attests to this. There are seven things the Lord hates and cannot tolerate: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind that thinks up wicked plans, feet that hurry off to do evil, a witness who tells one lie after another, someone who stirs up trouble among friends. When you look at this list and we place them against the situation of our nation, what do we see? It seems to me that all we're going through in our land is because we have taken a position against God and is dealing with us because of all that we chose to do. In the Sunday school, there was a clear distinction between being proud of somebody's action in being diligent and excellent in handling issues. That's not the pride we're talking about. We're talking about pride that comes from the concept of self-righteousness, a sense of being better than the other. And it is important for us to know that pride is such an evil trap. It doesn't alert you that it's on the way. Sometimes you don't notice it. It may not even be visible. But it is threatening. And it sneaks into our lives through whispering thoughts, our imaginations, the view of self-importance, and Satan used it in the Garden of Eden and still uses it today, till today, to trap victims. We will remember Satan enticed Adam and Eve to believe that they could be like God. That was the lie the enemy sold. Genesis 3 verse 5. As a result, Adam and Eve were given ejection order, not even notice. And they lost their purity, prosperity, and lost their place of safety and blessing because they believed the lies of the enemy. The enemy gave them the impression that they could be like God. Now, it is important for us to note that pride harms our relationships with God. As we see in James 4, verse 6, God resists you when you are proud. And pride also harms our relationship with others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Pride arms our self-perception. Romans 12, 3 to 8. The pride we are talking about is a heart matter. Sometimes it's not visible to anybody. You may not even be aware of it, and yet it's there. Evidences of pride abound in and around us. some were touched on during the Sunday school. For example, when I think and believe that I'm better than others, even within the church setting, when we look down or consider as unimportant, trivial, the services of those who put our meeting places, our gathering places in order before we come to worship. It may be a situation of boasting of our abilities, accomplishments, our positions in societies. We need to beware. Except the Spirit of the Lord is in action in us, pride shows up very clearly, even in the marketplace. The boss oppresses. And during the Sunday school, we saw a connection between pride and wickedness. A boss may decide to oppress because you don't agree with his unrighteous approaches to issues. It may lead to a sack or lack of promotion. Our unwillingness to say sorry when we wrong others, or even when we're in judgment, when we have a judgmental spirit, we are finding fault with others, seeing the speck in others while the logs remain in our eyes. Or when we seek attention and applause of men, when we think we are more spiritual than others. The fact that I attend a discipleship class on Tuesday does not make me spiritually superior to others. Or being a member of Pastoral Affairs Committee does not confer on you or on me any spiritual superiority. What is the remedy? If we turn to James 4, 6 to 10, and 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, they show us clearly how we can watch out and deal with this virus. One, we ask the Father for grace to overcome a prideful behavior. Verse 6 says, but the grace that God gives is even stronger. I'm reading the Good News Translation. And as the scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Secondly, we need to submit to God by rejecting subtle offers to disregard God's counsels on any matter. I want us to pay attention to each time there is a counter suggestion God has given you an instruction and something is asking, are you sure that is what God is saying? Don't you think you can just avoid that and go the other way around? It is the enemy. Thirdly, we need to seek God and His Word. Verse 8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Number four, we need to repent sincerely each time the Spirit draws our attention to the matter of pride. Verses 8 and 9 reminds us, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Be sorrowful. Cry and weep. Change your laughter into crying, your joy into gloom. Number five, which is the last thing to consider, put on the garment of humility. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The young ones are invited into this humility parade. In the same way, you younger people must submit yourselves to your elders. That's not the practice in our days now. And all of you must, without any exception, put on the apron of humility to serve one another. For the scripture says, God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Brethren, we need to give attention to this matter of pride, because all of us are affected by this virus. The degree only varies. Can we spend time to talk to the Lord? Most times, you may not be aware. You may think you are just doing your thing. My inability to recognize the need of the poor. Is it not because of pride? Let's talk to the Lord to help us this morning, that we will no longer be full of ourselves. I. Father, you know we cannot hide from you. Please come in your power and purge us all, every element of pride in us. Cleanse our hearts, O God. Remove our stony hearts and replace them with hearts of flesh, so that we can do your bidding always, not periodically, not occasionally, not when we want to. Our Lord and our God, we need your help. We cannot stand your resistance. We'll be worse for it. We need your favor. Father, help us. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.